It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along from Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you, man?
Hi, man. How you doing?
You have your safe room? Are you okay? You got a padded room? Everything will be all right?
Not enough padded room. I am advising the warnings of state and federal government. But.
Okay, so stay where you are. Stay in your safe room. Everybody's going to be all right. Bubba Rosenbaum, just off the trampoline, how are you?
I'm doing well. Worked up a little sweat with the kids. Riley and
I just want to clarify, Bubba. You can still go outside and get on your trampoline.
Yes. Not only get on the trampoline, Riley and I played a few games of horse, and then we jumped for at least half an hour on the trampoline.
All right.
So you're feeling
your PE in. You're doing your physical education with your children.
Yeah, we're homeschooling at the Rosenbaum Academy.
Yeah, the last few days, I guess it was maybe Sunday, and we were talking. I was down at the Kannapolis Research Campus where they built the new minor league ballpark with the Kannapolis Cannonballers. And so I've gone down there a few days now, and they have a nice greenway, and I've done a combination walk jog down there. So it's definitely doing what I can to get out of the house some and you know, take care of myself a little bit and get some fresh air.
No doubt. Hey, Bubba, we've got two great guests tonight.
Yeah, we do. I'm catching up with a couple of local guys, a local being right there in Greenville, Tony Dunn of the Carolina Cat Chronicles, the C3 podcast. A lot's been going on with the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton, the signing of New Orleans Saints quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to a 3-year $63 million deal. So we'll talk about everything going on with the Panthers. And then we also caught up with our friend Trent Britt from Next Level Training Center there in Greenville. They do an excellent job specifically with the baseball and softball athletes in the Greenville area.
No doubt about it, guys. We've got to take care of the coronavirus, but also we've got to get baseball cranked up and ready to go. NASCAR, NBA, NHL, MLS, hoping that we'll see something next month or two, certainly. And Kentucky Derby is postponed to September the 9th. Craziness there. So I guess that means the second and third leg of the Triple Crown for the Preakness and Belmont Stakes will be in September early. That was there 2 weeks apart. So early October for Belmont, that's kind of crazy. But we'll do what we have to do. I think Americans are going to be patient for a few weeks. And unless things get really crazy, then that's when the pressure is going to be back on the government to get back into, I was telling a guy the other day, I'll take the old crazy. That's looking really good right now.
You'll take what?
The old crazy, my old life. For the last, 8 days or something like that.
Yeah, I'm hoping you're right, Dave, and this is all overreaction and everything was done for no reason and we're back operating, as normal by May. But that'd be great. I hope that is the case. I hope you're right.
Well, only as I like the song, time will tell. Only time will tell. And right now, I guess the one good thing is we're going to continue to do the podcast. We got lots of great guests coming up. We have one of the things, Bubba, I want to give you a shout out, the Daily Pirate Profile. We're going to have many great people. Do you want to plug some of the people we've had on just in case they haven't heard it so far?
Yeah, we've had 3 episodes of the Daily Pirate Profile. We've had the basketball theme going on so far with it being March Madness. And then it was just some up part of that was intentional, and then some of it was just kind of who we've had on so far. But we've had 3 former Pirate guards, most recently Akeem Richmond. That was today being Thursday. And prior to Akeem, we had had Fred Primus. And then he had played for Bill Herrien back in 2000 to 2002, and then after Fred, we had James Legan, who played for Coach Mack and was teammates with Sam Hennett.
Little-known fact about Akeem Richmond, him and David are cousins.
That's right. I tell you what, you get that buzzer beater 2013. He is part of my family because he's part of Pirate Nation, so
yeah,
I'll never forget that. In fact, that was a very special night. If you guys remember, that was during the time that that run there during the tournament was the time, the CIT was the time that Jeff Charles was undergoing the first round of his battle with cancer, and he comes back for that game, and him and Cy back together, two legendary people for basketball, and of course the voice of the Pirates, Jeff Charles. And to hear that call that whole game, and then I know, Bubby, you talked about it too, with Akeem hitting that three with it when Cy Seymour says, "Jeffrey!"
Yeah, yeah, I did not realize that was during Jeff's treatment, actually.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it was. He didn't come. He called that game there at Weber State.
Yeah, I remember
for
that.
For him to be back was very special, but it was during that time, and that was the first game he was back. Was he came back for that game? I believe it was the first one.
Right.
He definitely did that game, and the emotion in his voice, you could just tell that he was so happy to be back, proud of the – he and for people that don't know, Jeff Charles is a huge basketball fan. Obviously, Cy is because he coached it and love of the game. But Jeff has wanted, you know, basketball to be relevant in addition to baseball and football. And so you could tell the emotion in his voice as far as having so many bad seasons outside of – a season here and there.
And I can always tell Jeff, listening to him call sports, I can always say he loves basketball and he loves football. I've never really thought when he called baseball, he enjoyed calling baseball very much.
I don't know. That's interesting. We'll have to ask him. I think when
did you pick up on that, Bubba? I always kind of picked up on that he never really enjoyed calling baseball. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
Yeah, he certainly did a good job with it, but yeah, I mean, it did. I don't know. Maybe it's because we didn't hear him do it as much, and because you think about it, guys. I mean, he started, I guess, what, 87, and up until, I mean, even in Coach LeClaire's years, the majority of those games, or at least a lot there early on in Coach LeClaire's tenure, were not broadcast. I mean, you had big games like against North Carolina, NC State, UNC Wilmington, ones like that, conference tournaments. Some of those were broadcast.
The play-by-play voice for Pirate Baseball that I remember hearing was Henry Hinton. So
he was, right. And also there's Steve Gowan that did he for a while was the color analyst right before Cy, and he did the games some
baseball?
Back in, I'm sorry?
Baseball games he did?
He did basketball games with Jeff.
We were talking about baseball, though.
Yeah, right, he was just saying that.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Like right back in the 92-93 NCAA championship appearance. That's what he was along with Jeff then.
Okay.
And then he did baseball because he always used to say, "Coming up to the dish, coming up to the dish." I'll never forget that. But I don't know how many seasons he did it, but I remember him. And you're right, it's been sporadic. It's good to see that the level of interest as far as the broadcasting piece of things is picked up, and not just because we're having a great year or, you know, it's a conference tournament or, a regional appearance or super regional. It's more than that. So I think that's helped out definitely a lot. We've got some news to talk about. I know we talked about there's definitely a lot of Pirates. We'll talk to Tony in just a little bit with about different Pirates and different things. But I know we have some local stories to talk about as far as Pirate Nation, right, Bubba, with football and basketball?
Yeah, word broke on Hoist the Colors. Steve and I go broke this news. I guess it was Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. The Pirates had offered a grad transfer out of Hampton. He's been playing for Robert Prunty, the former Pirate defensive line, and also interim defensive coordinator when Kenwick Thompson was fired. But just taking a look at it, he's a guy who's actually out from my neck of the woods, guys. He's from West Rowan High School. I'm very proud football tradition there with the Falcons, and he is a guy. He's battled some injuries during his time at Hampton, but he has a lot of potential. 6'6", 305, moves very well for his size. And
yeah, a lot of other schools have offered him, not just East Carolina. So that kind of
Indiana's one of the more notable ones. Big Ten offer there, and they've obviously had for Indiana pretty good success here lately.
Yeah,
so
several Conference USA and Sun Belt offers also along with Indiana.
But Indiana offered here about 3 weeks ago. So don't just watch his film. Don't just judge it. Hey, he's coming from Hampton, and this guy can't be that good.
Yeah, East Carolina East Carolina, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, Indiana. I'm trying to think of some of the other offers. I want to say FIU also. So he's got several offers. Charlotte also, Bubba. There's a lot of people that think he's good enough to play at this level.
And I'm not sure, you may have said this when I may have just not heard it, but Jim McElwain in Central Michigan, I think, is another.
You're correct. So, but you would hope maybe with being a North Carolina boy, Liberty also. Hopefully being a North Carolina boy, maybe he wants to come home.
Yeah, let's hope so. And we certainly need the depth and the talent that he would provide on the offensive line.
I need it be easy for him to remember the mascot of his new team.
Absolutely.
Go from a pirate to a pirate.
Yep.
Okay. So, some other news. Football. Yeah. New football is there.
I'm saying Kyle left Dave speechless now. But, yeah, speaking of grad transfers, there are a few different ones on the market that we're seemingly in the running for on the basketball side of things. But one of those is a guy who I believe he started his career at Charlotte. Most recently he was at Pitt, Ryan Murphy. He's a 6'2 guard, shoots the three pretty well. I think 33% or 34%. So not great, but he did some nice things. There are some other ones out there though that I think look maybe even more appealing than Ryan Murphy. But I do think Ryan Murphy would be a pretty good addition. And there's a guy named Ryan Bentley who played at Penn. He's a grad transfer, and he had several excellent games against quality competition. He had, I think, 22 against Providence, and then he had a game against Arizona. Everybody knows how good they are. He had 20 against them, and he had a couple of double-doubles against AAC competition, UCF and Temple. So that's another name to keep an eye on. In addition to the grad transfers, there are some perimeter options. I'm just trying to get guys that can put the ball in the basket a little more consistently from three-point range. And I know a couple of those are Tariq Silver from down at Tallahassee Community College, began his career at Eastern Michigan. He's about 6'5 or 6'6 and shot between 45% and 50% from three this year in the JUCO ranks. And then you also have a three-man, a wing player in DeAndre Pinckney, who's out of Broward College down in South Florida. Yeah.
And I was about to segue too before you changed it to basketball. We have some new assistants that
skipped over that.
Yeah, new offensive and defensive analysts, Bubba.
Yeah, do longtime Pirate fans will certainly remember Jerry McManus. He coached the Pirate running backs from '96 to 2004, and if I'm not mistaken, I want to say he also served as recruiting coordinator. But anyway, his son Ryan McManus, who's spent the last 4 years at Winston-Salem State in the D2 ranks as a quarterback coach, co-offense coordinator, at least play caller, and also director of operations. So he is wearing many hats for the Rams. He's a guy that he walked on at Wake Forest, which was his dad's alma mater. He walked on there as a quarterback, earned a scholarship, was playing behind Riley Skinner for the Demon Deacons. And I know he held and did some things on special teams. And he also served as a GA at Wake Forest for 3 years, working with the offensive line. So it's a guy that he's extremely smart. He's extremely well-rounded, and he's a guy who's a tremendous addition. And we also added Clay Big Nail. He's spent the last 4 years as a GA or as an analyst on the Notre Dame staff under Brian Kelly. So he seems like an excellent addition as well, even though we don't know as much about him yet.
Yeah, two good additions there. And with McManus, you love the pedigree with his dad, and they had some success at the D2 ranks at Winston-Salem State with him helping run that offense, CIAA championship, and made the playoffs. So it seems like a pretty good hire and a chance for him to move up to a Division I opportunity, even if it's just an analyst. I'm sure his thoughts are move up as an analyst, and there'll be a position coach spot come available eventually.
No doubt. If it's not East Carolina, it'd be somewhere else. So definitely that will be great. One of the best conferences in the nation and in the American. And definitely with Houston, you can learn a lot. And you have Coach Shank, who he knows, and a lot of great.
Dave, it's like you just came back to life. It was like you just out of nowhere, just out of nowhere.
No, I'm right here. I'm right here.
It's like a run-in. It's like a run-in and wrestling.
I'm here. I'm listening to you. I've been here the whole time.
It's mid-match going back run-in,
Dave just waits for those opportune moments where he can really drive home a particular point.
That's right, yeah. It's like me when we're interviewing a basketball player.
Well, I can tell you that Mike Houston, anybody's crazy if they don't think that he's going to turn things around. And maybe it won't be as fast as some people would like it, but I think that things were a lot worse than he would even admit to us when he got here. I mean, I think that's obvious when from outside looking in, but I think if it was inside looking out and he told us, he's told members of the media, I know for a fact offhand that it was really, really bad. So I think that we give Houston a few years, and he'll by year three, Holton's senior year, we're going to be very good. So, no, we will be. We will be. I think it's going to be year three for Dooley, year three for Houston. You heard it here first on the podcast. I really do. I'll stick with that until I'm proven wrong.
I still think there's going to be depth issues on that offensive line next year, unless we address it for junior college players.
Well, that's what – I mean, yeah. I mean, there's going to be issues there, but I still believe that there's a lot of time.
When
on
I
offense,
say next year, I mean 21.
Yeah, no, I know what you meant. I'm just saying that it seems like we always have issues with the offensive line, but I think with the offense that we have, plus the defense, if the defense plays even half as good as it did this year, we'll be a bowl team by year three. I mean, I really believe that.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an opportunity there by year three for sure. And you know, I'm not giving up on this year provided we play this year.
No, I just want people to realize that. In other words, it would be nice to go 12-0 like our friend Terry Gallagher, who recently had a birthday, guys. I want to give a hint. He's going to come back on the – we're trying to get – he's such a busy man. We're trying to get old Bunk back on the show. But he's eventually going to come to North Carolina in the Wilmington area, so he'll be really close to us in proximity as far as the state of North Carolina anyway. He's always close to us in Pirate Nation, but he's always talking about you should win every game. Like, that's what your mindset is. And I get it. The reality is we know that Pirate Nation, we're usually 7, 8, 9, and that range is what is expected of our program. You want to win every one of them, but if you win 7, 8, or 9, then people are going to be pleased in Greenville. They may not be, like, obviously they're not going to be doing backflips, but it's but right now after what we've been through, 5 straight losing seasons, 7 wins looks like undefeated.
Hell, 5 and 7 looks like undefeated. Hey, and speaking of 7, 8, 9, that is why 6 was afraid of 7.
8, 9. Yeah. That's an old joke. I haven't heard that one in a while. But anyway, yeah, we're going to have a great – he's having to – when people talk about change the culture, I mean, literally player by player by player, coach by coach by coach, things in the facilities, like every – he's having to, like, overhaul everything. And it's not like a guy coming in and there's still some – There's talent on the team. I'm just talking about the problem is there was some talent that I think that they didn't practice hard, they didn't play hard, there's off-the-field stuff, there's that kind of stuff. And the fact that you have where you play soft for 3 years, you have easy practices compared to what these kids – that's what the kids are used to compared to Coach Houston's more old school. So it's going to take some time for people to – we're just not patient because it's been so long since we've had a winning season. But this is the more reason, not being Kyle Formagranch here, this is the more reason why you don't push out a great coach and one that that I like a lot, Ruffin McNeil. You don't push out a great athletic director. You don't hire a political hack or a chancellor.
You talking about Jeff Comp?
Yeah, I mean, we hung out all the time. But I mean,
you talk about pushing out Jeff Comper. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, Jeffrey and I hung out all the time, but we have to be objective. You look at it, there was no playoff teams in 19 sports, none in 2017. That had never. I don't think that ever happened in the history of sports in East Carolina. I mean, you can just go on and on and
now,
on about
no, Dave, that. Dave, you're not talking about the GPA, though.
Oh yeah, our GPA was great, but it's always that is always great.
Yeah.
And people don't play sports. The one thing I got out of the Jeffrey Comfort era is that people don't play sports to win. So I remember those comments. It's not always about winning, right? Like, so
I thought it was about winning championships.
Well, it was until we started losing a lot. So yeah. Anyway, you want to go to our first guest, guys?
You know, guys. You know who we should get on here, Bubba, Dave? You know who we should have? We should get Shelly Benegger on here.
I think she would come on.
I think, yeah, I'm sure she would. I'm sure
we'll
she
see.
Would.
Well,
right, guys,
hey,
anyway.
She's welcome. Let me tell you something. Jeff Comfort wants to come on. We do not turn down people. They want to come on. They're welcome anytime they want. We'll make.
Oh yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'll take days off from my personal job. Whatever we have to do, we'll meet them in person. Like Cliff Godwin says about playing baseball, anytime, anytime, anywhere, any place. We'll do it. Let's go.
Jeff Comfort. He's.
Yeah.
All
I
right.
Mean, I don't have a problem having him on. Why not?
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's get him on.
Definitely in the world of podcasting, it'll definitely get a lot of listens. I can promise you that. So,
it would probably be half an interview. He'd hang up on me if I was busted for an interview.
No, I have a feeling. I have a feeling that you would be the kinder, gentler Kyle would be on there because
you know what,
he would
no,
be.
You know
here's
what,
why. Here's why.
You know,
because
no, you know what, Dave? You're kinder, gentler Kyle most of the time on the podcast, but with Jeffrey Comfort, no, sir, no, sir.
But I know. Here's my strategy. So he's going to expect, if I do the interview, that Kyle from LaGrange is going to be all over me, and I'll probably make it about a minute or two on the podcast, on the show. But you have, if Kyle from LaGrange is the kinder, gentler Kyle, then he makes it through there, and I guess, but people would expect fireworks from you.
So won't worth crap. I mean, you just got a regular interview with him. It won't be worth, you got to. You take 5 minutes of fire versus 15 minutes of piss. I mean, you know what I mean? It's
okay. So you want
you know just piss him off and you know let's do it, baby. Let's do it. You know, just make him answer the hard questions, and if he don't want to answer them, and just he's wasting our time anyway.
No, all right. Well, whatever strategy we do will be great. If he wants Jeff Comfort, if you want to come on, you're welcome anytime. We're putting it out there, and you can talk about your new job and. Coming out of retirement, and Shelly Benegger, you're welcome anytime. People are welcome on. If you worked with Pirate Nation, hey, you're welcome anytime. Even if you didn't work in Pirate Nation, I'm sure if it's sports related, we'll find a way to have you on. So.
Yeah, if you worked at Foot Locker at any point, we'll have you on the show.
Hey, that sounds good to me. You want to go to our first guest, Bubba?
Yeah, you mentioned the word overhaul, and the Carolina Panthers have certainly been. That organization has been going through an overhaul for sure. A new head coach and a lot of new pieces, new quarterback. Yeah, of course, a new owner and David Tepper. So let's just catch up with Tony Dunn.
Yeah, a lot of the talk
has been about the moves taking place in the National Football League, and right now to get the Carolina Panthers perspective, welcome in from the C3 Podcast, Carolina Cat Chronicles, Tony Dunn.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I'm sure, guys.
Absolutely wanted to have you on. One of the things that's been going on for a long, long time as far as the Panthers go is there was the issue of the ownership. We have David Tepper, and it seemed like that just by what I gathered, which came true, I think, in the last couple of days, that Cam Newton was going to be traded. So I want to get your thoughts on the trade, getting Bridgewater, if we can talk a little bit about that, because that's been like a hot topic for a long time, and it seems like that's finally that storyline's coming to an end.
Yeah, for sure. Is one thing is that David Tepper's turning out to be our own very own Carl Icahn, like the corporate raider, coming in and really shaking things up and selling off assets and you know really changing the direction of the company. That being more than the Carolina Panthers now, because he's expanding the sports complexes, events, and with an MLS team. But you're right. The news came out yesterday, but you guys put it kindly that they're trading him. Really, just they have been consistent in the last decade, and they have told Cam that he needs to do everything, including go find his own trade. So, yeah, is wow. Yesterday the news came out that they were allowing Cam to find his own trade partner or suitor, and at the same time they were saying that out one side of their mouth, they're signing Teddy Bridgewater. you know, proclaiming a new direction for the organization, at least temporarily for the next year or two. But that does solidify the Cam Newton situation, as in, you know, the Cam Newton era is officially at an end. Whether we get anything for him will he remain to be seen. But, you know, if he doesn't find a trade partner, then it just they're going to release him.
What has the reaction been from Panthers fans? I mean, I know Cam was kind of always a mixed bag. A lot of people even see they love him or hate him. What's the reaction been?
Yeah, Cam Newton is the football version of Barack Obama and Donald Trump. You know, it's like, you're right. He's a polarizing character. And for the most part, people were very upset. You know, they're upset with the way the organization has handled it. They have strung this along. They have paraded the new coach out there and made several statements that if Cam Newton is healthy, he will be our quarterback. But behind the scenes, you know, they're making a different direction, a different move. And Cam, you know, felt blindsided by this, at least that's what he, you know, he came out on Instagram and said, don't, you know, make this like I forced my way out. This was their decision. And you know, former players like Greg Olson also chimed in, Mario Addison as well, saying this sounds familiar. And, you know, fans have been distraught, to be honest, is that, you know, you saw the Cam Newton fan club, and which is us, you know, pretty much most people. You know, just heartbroke, you know, is the idea of Carolina without Cam is just a bizarre concept, because he's been, you know, we have been relevant the last decade because of him, and really because of him almost alone. So people are upset. And then the sad thing is Teddy Bridgewater is actually not a bad signing, you know, so it makes some sense on one side. So if you could look at it without the emotion of Cam Newton shrouding the situation, we would be ecstatic adding Teddy Bridgewater for the price we did. And but yeah, there's a lot of emotions tied into the Cam Newton situation.
So you talk about Teddy Bridgewater, and that's what my son and I actually had the opportunity to attend that final game of the season against the New Orleans Saints. And little did we know what was going to take place. Obviously there was speculation as far as Joe Brady going to the NFL, and then it certainly makes sense bringing him in with the past they had together with New Orleans.
Yeah, there is that New Orleans connection. I think, you know, Joe Brady and him probably worked probably pretty closely if you think about it, you know, because Teddy Bridgewater didn't play hardly at all the year that Joe Brady was in New Orleans. But if you think about a kind of an assistant at the time and the backup quarterback, you probably see them rubbing elbows at times in meeting rooms and things. And I think the other, so that, you know, that connection obviously makes a lot of sense, because from what everybody says is that what LSU was running last year was kind of a simplified version of what Sean Payton runs with the Saints. A lot of concepts that you're going to build on from that. So, you know, Teddy's familiarity with that will be good. And then someone brought up on our podcast last night that, given the situation with the coronavirus and the shutdown of all events, and including off-season, you know, right now I do believe that they're not going to have those OTAs where they get to work with free agents and rookies for a couple of days, that, you know, maybe this does is somewhat of a benefit, at least that when you come to camp or whenever we get started, is that Teddy isn't just so far behind. Or, you know, Cam, if it would have been Cam, you know, having to start from scratch at the very last minute.
Do you think, speaking of a little off topic here, just your opinion on it, do you think we'll end up doing the NFL draft maybe closed door without it being a big open event where it's done, you know, televised, but a lot less dramatic, maybe just in a conference room somewhere?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll still, how they'll do that, to be honest, but I do believe I've heard some things already about them not having it in Las Vegas, you know, the big.
Yeah, I think it's already been postponed.
I think it would. I think it would be great if I was part of the NFL right now. Is what I would like to do is have every war room for each team have a camera embedded in there and film them making the call to the player. I think that would be a cool way of...
What is the weekend of the draft right now? I don't even remember.
Is it the end of April?
Late April, yeah. Yeah, it's usually at the beginning of May or end of April. I think since Easter is early this year, it falls in the April months.
Okay. I tell you what, if we're still in shutdown and there's no sports by the time the draft rolls around and it is moved to a closed-door type session, but they can televise it, the ratings will be through
huge.
The freaking roof. Good
yeah, they
God
need to
almighty.
Keep doing it. Yeah, because it's no. The great thing about that is control, meaning that they can do it like you were saying. They may have some format changes, but in, as far as the, there's nobody that's going to be. There's no going to be. There's not going to be the audience. There's not going to be like a game where you have a whole bunch of people together. So, I think it's a brilliant move for them to keep doing that, and we. Desperate. I don't know about you guys, but just as a whole, I love sports like all of you. And when I didn't realize, I was telling a guy today at work, I didn't realize how much time I spent watching sports, talking about sports, but especially watching it. And not having sports over the last week or so has been really rough.
Yeah, you know what, though, is it's a surprise. I know it's rough in one hand, but when you cover stuff like as closely as you guys do and like we do, is you're always on the internet, you're always on Twitter, you're always watching, you're always talking about. Sometimes it's nice to have a little break from, like, so you can, like, pay attention to your kids.
I don't know. all I'm doing now is just staying on the internet, keeping up with coronavirus updates.
Oh, gosh, don't look at it. Don't look at it, man.
Yeah,
instead of looking at college baseball, I'm 25 coronavirus.
I think one cool thing with the draft, though, I want to put in there is that this will be the first draft that Roger Goodell will not be booed.
Oh, that's right. Hey, I had a question for you, Tony, as far as Cam Newton is concerned. We obviously can talk Tony Brady, too. I mean, Tony Brady. Tom Brady.
Who the hell is Tony Brady?
Yeah, Tom Brady. You can tell I'm exhausted. But speaking of the damn coronavirus. But my day job. But anyway, as far as Cam Newton, who would be interested in Cam Newton? I'm not trying to say that mean. I'm just saying, asking like seriously.
Yeah,
like, are
no, it's a real, no, it's a good, question. It's particularly because you know quarterbacks are signing Tom Brady now to the Buccaneers. It looks like today that actually would have been a decent fit. You also have Jameis Winston floating out there. Marcus Mariota. There's a lot of guys out there that are trying to find a place, and
it's
a strange.
Redskins, Dave.
That's what I was going to ask with Rivera. I grew up a Redskin fan, so it was weird to have Rivera get fired on a Tuesday after losing to the Redskins, and 1 month later he's the head coach. That was
I think you guys got Thomas Davis too.
Yeah,
the Redskins did at least. So it's a good question about Cam, and you know, interestingly, is that you know, is the market as big for him as he wants it to be. I don't know if it is at this moment, particularly because Nick Foles was traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Chicago Bears, and I think the Bears would have been a good suitor for him. So right now, I tell you this, is like if I'm Cam Newton, I'm trying to become a New England Patriot.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that.
You know, Bill Belichick has always respected Cam as a player. He's always said he's the most difficult player to prepare for. So, so that would be interesting. But, you know, the question is, what does New England want to do? Are they trying to really reboot and reset from the beginning? Or are they trying to carry over some of their, you know, the dominance into the post-Brady era? That's what I think is I could see him in a Patriots jersey hoisting a Lombardi trophy.
I actually saw a funny video on Twitter. It was a spinoff on, I guess, Stone Cold. It had Bill Belichick walking out of the tunnel in Detroit or somewhere. Yeah, like he was. So this is Bill Belichick coming after Cam Newton.
Yep. I think that's this guy made it. His name is @Koontz, KOONCE. He is a Twitter legend. And yeah, I saw that tweet as well.
But Tony, something I wanted to ask you. One of the big issues in recent years has been the pass protection, whether it's Cam Newton or the other quarterbacks the Panthers have been playing, Kyle Allen. So until that improves, I mean, obviously the team's only going to be but so good. So talk about that. I know, unfortunately, earlier today, Garrett McGinn, who was signed by the Panthers last year and played in a couple of ball games, he was waived. But what are some moves that the Panthers have made, if anything, to shore up the offensive line?
Yeah, that's been the Achilles heel of the team for a decade. The left tackle position being the most predominant one of note, and we've had a lot of swings and misses there. So right now it doesn't look like the Panthers have done a ton. There was one move last week that was big, but it doesn't seem big now in the wake of Cam Newton, is they traded Trey Turner, who is the only guy that has like a reputation on the offensive line, period. They traded him to the Chargers for Russell Okung, who is a left tackle that used to play in Denver. He's been very successful. Struggled a little bit with injury last year, 31-year-old guy. But they got him, and that looks like, they're trying to make it a bridge for next year, or so that they don't have to be painted into a corner in the draft at number 7 and picking a tackle, because there's just so many needs on the defensive side of the ball. Really, the Panthers could draft 7 defensive players and still have a lot of holes. So I think that's a temporary solution. And right now they've got a couple of young players that we've drafted in the past couple of years named Moten, Taylor Moten, who is the right tackle, as well as Greg Little, who struggled with concussions last year. So I think they're going to try to give those young guys an opportunity and have Okung there as an anchor on the left.
Tony, one question I had is thinking about, I knew you were coming on, and thinking about this afternoon, I really like him personally as a coach and personally in Matt Rhule. But then I was telling Bubba, I hadn't had a chance to talk to Kyle about it. What are your thoughts about a college coach coming in? We've seen it work, but then we've seen a lot of examples, like even Nick Saban, where he goes from LSU to Miami, it didn't work out. Steve Spurrier from Florida to the Redskins. Obviously, Pete Carroll has worked out, and there's other examples that have worked out. But what are your thoughts on Matt Rhule and a college coach coming to Charlotte to the Panthers?
Yeah, a lot of unknowns surrounding that. Matt Rhule's a guy that's hard to dislike when you talk to him. When you hear him speak, he's the son of a preacher, and boy, he's got that preacher gene in him, and it's really ingratiating, personally. So, I don't want to be one of those people that lives in fear that like a college coach can't do it. It's like impossible. Don't even try it. But a lot of the success stories of college coaches come to NFL originally had a lot of their coaching start actually in the NFL. I think Pete Carroll was in the NFL, then went to college and came back to the NFL. I think the real questions come with this is that it has less to do with the football side of how it works, right? Is that a college coach coming to the NFL, knows the game of football and knows how to teach maybe even better than an NFL coach. That's what Matt Rhule is a big, his kind of, pillar that he builds his stance on is being a teacher. And that's something that, we don't know if Ron Rivera was all that great at. He was not good at developing young guys. He liked to coach veterans. So, I think bringing in the innovators, the young guys that are really chomping at the bit to make their stamp, their legacy, a Joe Brady, a Matt Rhule, I'm comfortable with that. But if you look at what Nick Saban, the problem with Nick Saban, I don't think was understanding the game of football. It was probably personalities of dealing with players that are professionals now. So they're not kids. They're not college athletes that you can stick the tutors on or, make run laps or things like this. These guys are making more money than you are. And they're the best at their profession, just like you're one of the best at yours. So I think it's got to do with this is how you relate with professional athlete, how you work through a lot of these things like rosters, salary cap. Those are, is so many college coaches, their success comes from, different angles. So some coaches may just be like a lot of their success generates from just being phenomenal recruiters. Right. Other guys, maybe it's preparation and how they run their program. So there's just different challenges in the NFL. And, you just got to wait to see how guys work through those. So it's not the Sunday on Sunday that I see the challenge. It's really in April through September that, you know, how do these guys manage that? And just a note on Steve Saban, you know, maybe that tells us something about his personality and how he deals with adversity a little bit, you know, is that these guys who have always succeeded in life, and at every turn, what happens when they run into things where they don't succeed and how do they respond? And maybe that's where Matt Rhule is really going to be a great, you know, kind of, you know, anchor for the team, is because he's been around a lot of crap that has not been good to start with. If you think of Temple and how they were always, you know, second fiddle to Penn State, just a dumpster fire of a program until he got there, and then he makes them into something. And then he took over Baylor when they were going through that sexual harassment and rape scandal that was crazy. I don't know if you guys remember that several years ago, but they were like missing scholarships and all of that. And he comes into a place that's just on fire, burning down around him, and is able to repair it. So hopefully that personality trait is what helps him win in the NFL.
Yeah, we had an extended conversation on our last podcast about our brawls, as a matter of fact. So funny you bring up Baylor. Matt Rhule, in my opinion, just the interesting thing about Matt, and as far as Saban goes, I think the reason he didn't succeed in the NFL, which you kind of alluded to it, is one word, ego, man. He couldn't use ego.
Yeah.
But Matt Rhule, it's funny. He really doesn't have any gimmicks. Matt Rhule is all about, just from what I've seen of him, playing hard-nosed football, being well-prepared, and getting after it. I mean, the job he did at Baylor with you know, what he took over there, it was in a complete – I thought it – you know, he got a 7-year contract to take that job because people thought – because he thought it was going to take so long to turn it around. They gave him a 7-year deal, not a 5-year deal. And 2 years later, you know, things turn around. And then this year, you know, he had him in contention for the playoffs. If he doesn't succeed at Carolina, I'll be a little surprised. But if he doesn't, he won't have any problem getting another college job.
Yeah. Well, you know, he has been given a 7-year deal with the Panthers. And he had already been extended at Baylor for like 5 more on top of that big deal you were saying. Like, so people believe in the guy. And one of it, I think you're right, is that, you know, you don't have to be gimmicky. What Matt Rhule brings is a blue collar work ethic. At least that's what he portrays. It's just, he's just a grinder. You know, he's going to work as hard as he could possibly work. And that, you know, that's good when you – and just when we think about leadership in general, is that those – that creates a culture. It trickles down, you know, is that if you're a workforce and the people above you are the least competent or the least hardworking or the first to throw people under the bus, that creates a culture. And so hopefully Matt Rhule, that those attitudes and those personality traits will really build something special in Carolina.
You guys, we got anything else?
Yeah, I was going to ask as far as the NFL is concerned. And have you heard anything? I know one thing I wanted to talk to you about, Tony, was I was happy to see – I haven't heard the final vote on it, but I know the Players Association have. Guys, I hadn't even had a chance to talk to you guys off air about it. This is a complete audible. I know the coaches wanted it, owners wanted it, players agreed to it. 17-game season, is that going to start next year? Is that a done deal?
No, it is a done deal because they have passed the CBA through, but the 17-game part goes into effect in 2021.
Okay, I knew it wasn't next year. Okay.
I'm not 100% sure of what the changes are that have come out of the CBA, but I do know that some guys were mentioned on the podcast that the playoff changes go into effect this year, and I don't know if that's an expansion of the playoffs or if they seed differently now. So I'll have to look into what those changes are. But here, there's one other news that's important for your podcast, and that is Justin Hardy's a free agent.
Absolutely. That's something I was going to bring up, Tony. I was going to bring up a few different former Pirates who've been in the NFL for quite some time now. You talk about Justin. He was let go by the Falcons after 5 years, and obviously they're pretty loaded at receiver, so it wasn't all that surprising. Have you heard anything about where he may land?
No, I haven't. Is that, you know, he's one of those guys that is certainly going to be one of the, you know, he's a third receiver and a special teamer guy in the NFL, it looks like, or at least that's what he's been like with the Falcons. And, yeah, that has been a crowded room. But I haven't. And I tell you, a lot of people, though, have asked, you know, is Carolina a destination? I tell you, the one thing that's going to keep Justin Hardy a job is not even being a receiver. It's being a punt returner. And that actually is such a hard thing to do in the NFL, and we've struggled with it. And he's just consistent back there in the punt return game. He doesn't get you anything that's just tremendous, but he is, you know, we know Justin Hardy. One thing he is that he was the best pass catching receiver we've ever had. And more than Zay Jones is the dude, he's the man with the golden gloves. He caught every single thing that came his way. I mean, you just get in his area code. If it touches his hands, he's catching it. And so, you know, there's going to be a home for him in the NFL. It's just what team is going to try to get some depth at receiver. And I guarantee you that it's going to be a team that needs some help on special teams as well.
Talking about special teams and another guy that has made a lot happen on special teams in the NFL, he did it back when he was with the Cowboys. He had a good little stint with the New York Giants and most recently the Oakland Raiders, now the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm, of course, talking about the playmaker, Dwayne Harris. So what have you heard about Dwayne?
You know, Dwayne's getting up there, though. You know,
he's like 32 now.
Yeah, and that is like a dinosaur, especially in that in that game on special teams. You know, I don't know. Is Dwayne Harris is arguably like the fourth best Pirate, like had the fourth best pro career out of any Pirate ever, right? I mean, if you think about it, like Blake, CJ,
Ernest Biner.
Yeah. So maybe Garrard. I would put him up. I mean, obviously him and Linville Joseph.
Speaking of Linville Joseph, we'll get to him in a moment.
He signed with the Chargers. Yeah.
Yeah, he was let go on salary cap deal with the Vikings after a good stint with them. He obviously did very well with the Giants. I guess won a Super Bowl with them and was all pro a couple times with the Vikings. And let go last Friday, and here we are 5 days later, and he signs a 2-year, $17 million with the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, and man, the Chargers are getting Chris Harris, too, from Denver, and they had Derwin James last year. Their defense, you know, had really improved. They had also had Thomas Davis last year. So, you know, that's a steal for them, to be honest. And he would have really helped in Carolina. That's a big body boy that makes a difference every game. And, you know, one, the best thing about Linville Joseph is he's just been available. And arguably, he has been one of the most successful pros that's come out of ECU. And if it was a different, more sexy position, we might even be saying one of the top two or three, you know. Look out for the Chargers. They're putting together a big-time defense over there.
Yeah, Linville Joseph, I'll never forget the first time I saw him live in person. It was an inter-squad scrimmage, I guess, prior to the 2007 season. And there he was, I mean, just coming into college football, and he was an absolute man already. He took a lineman that was, I think, a redshirt sophomore. He shot his hands and literally about armbarred our quarterback. I think it was Brett Clay.
He was originally with Florida, right? He had signed with Florida, maybe had some problems with his grades or something. And then
they dropped him for somebody else that maybe that USC had dropped or something like that. And then Rick Smith had that connection.
Nice, yeah. That's what it tells you. This though is that you know he was so important to that defense. That was under Skip, right?
Yep.
Skip, Greg Hudson, and Rick Smith.
Yeah, and so that shows you, man, is what one big time recruit can really do for a program, for a team like ECU. Is you got to land a couple of these guys that you just shouldn't, every now and then, and then build around them. And boy, I mean, he made that defense, man. That was that front four was the best, arguably, we've ever had. I don't know. You guys know the history of ECU a lot more than I do.
If you look back at that 07 season, it was only an 8-win team. Of course, the win over Boise in the Hawaii Bowl, but arguably, when you look, we had Linville Joseph, C.J. Wilson, and Chris Johnson. We maybe should have won the conference.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We had that game up at Marshall where very much like, I guess it was, 2013, where we,
yep,
much, much different ball game. That game in 2013, we just got absolutely smoked. But that night or afternoon in 2007, we got shut down, lost 26-7. I remember that was a brutal trip. My family and I made the trip.
Yeah, and there, you know, getting totally off subject, Bubba, but I think I mentioned to you this before. Right before halftime of that game, it was a relatively close game. They blew us out in the second half. We kicked a field goal right before halftime of that game, and I still swear to this day that field goal was good. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Oh, yeah, I remember. It is right. I believe it happened right in front of me. Going toward the field house?
Yep.
Yep.
I still swear that field goal was good. But anyway, neither here nor there.
Tony, a lot of stuff going on, obviously, with the NFL, and I love to keep in touch with you. It's one of the things right now. I was joking with people. I said, we need to start a support group, but then we can't have only a few people together right now with the coronavirus. Maybe we can with through podcasts with different guests. So thank you so much for doing that. And before we let you go, how can people find your work as far as the podcast and the Cat Chronicles?
Yeah, man. So we've really just shifted entirely over to the podcast format for, you know, we were trying to do the whole news thing for a long time. It just takes so much, like you guys know, with you got families and full time. So we've invested in that podcast, and we're live on Tuesday nights on YouTube. Just Google the C3 Panthers podcast. You can find us on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you go, and listen to your podcast. We're usually the number one that pops up when you just type in Carolina Panthers. But if you want to make sure to find us, just type in the C3 Panthers podcast, wherever you get your podcast, man. And we're there every Tuesday, and we do our stick is this, is, man, we just chop up sports from the fan perspective. You know, we take what we do seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, guys. You guys have a good one.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. That was a lot of fun. And by the way, folks, go to Familia Restaurant. We've got to all go there after a football game or something. I know they're local business in Greenville, and they're a small business. So let's support all our small – wherever you're listening to this podcast, wherever you are.
That was his comment about support local when I said I was eating cookout. Okay. Now I get it.
Yeah, Familia Restaurants. Familia Restaurant in Greenville. It's an Italian restaurant for people that don't know what we're talking about. And it's supposed to be really good. I haven't been there yet, but after he invited us, we'll go there and have a good time. And the bill's on Kyle, so he's going to pay for everything.
I didn't get invited, guys. I don't.
Yeah, you did.
I did? I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, so you got anyway. Go back and listen to the interview. So, guys, I wanted to talk to I know that he didn't go, obviously, to ECU like he should have, but anyway. Did you see where Todd Gurley was let go of the Rams today? So it'll be interesting to see who picks him up. I know he's had some injury bugs.
Man.
What's that?
He's a Gurley man.
Yeah, Todd Gurley, he actually played at Tarver High School and was won state championships. Goes down to Georgia.
Yep.
Great there. Great in L.A. So it'll be interesting to see who picks him up. Linville Joseph, he actually, as we just talked about, goes to the L.A. Chargers, who maybe one day goes to London. That's a rumor. That would be crazy, but we'll see if that ever turns out. They play at a soccer stadium, so we'll see what goes on there. But anyway, lots of changes, even though there's not.
You know what? I wish they'd go ahead and put a team in London so they could see how effing stupid that is and get it over with.
The London Chargers.
And have them move back to America. The Jacksonville Jaguars have talked about moving to London. I want them to go ahead and do that stupid crap so they can see how stupid it is.
I bet you
after about 5 years, move it back to the States.
I bet you they have more fans there than you think. I really do.
And they might, but you still have to have a team travel to London every other week. I mean,
yeah, we'll see.
It's stupid.
What about Mexico City?
Well, you know, that's reasonable. You can get to Mexico City in a reasonable amount of time. I don't know that there's – how many NFL fans are there in Mexico City?
Well, they were going to have the Raiders game. I think they canceled this year, but they tried to do an exhibition game, a game in Mexico. I think they usually try one game there. I think that's the market they really want to be in.
You know, I can tell you, one of my best friends, her husband, is from El Salvador, and he was home in El Salvador during the Super Bowl, and he said everybody there was watching the American Super Bowl. And he said, you know, it wasn't like that growing up. So certainly down in Mexico and down into Central American countries, certainly the popularity of the NFL is growing.
Yeah, there's some spots, I think, in Europe that it works. I don't know, like, I don't know about with NFL Europe that was there for a while. Then, you know, you're talking about, Kyle, Central America, South America. I don't know as far as Asia or certain places, but who knows? Maybe it's more than what we do. Hey, one thing we know about is ECU baseball. Bubba, do you want to go to our next guest?
Yeah, we had Trent Britt from the Next Level Training Center. He was on the show, I think it was last summer, but it was great to have Trent back. Wish it was under different circumstances, but Next Level Training Center, they're operating a little bit different these days, but good news is they were able to stay open and offer some of their services to local baseball and softball players in the Greenville area, and we'll go to that conversation right now.
Well, this time of year, we're obviously normally talking baseball, but Bubba, we're disappointed, obviously hurt about College World Series, everything canceled, but we have a very special guest and maybe some uptick to what's going on right now.
Absolutely. Welcome into the show from Next Level Training Center in Greenville, Trent Britt. Trent, glad to have you back on the program.
Hey, great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're so excited to have you on because I think there's a – I'm hoping – I'm looking and searching for a silver lining, and I just wanted to say thank you for – I saw on Twitter today where you had the guys out at ECU out at your facility and helping them out with a difficult situation going on.
Yeah, we, you know, there were, I guess Coach Godwin called me a couple nights ago. There were 9 players, I believe, that had chosen to kind of stay behind and stay at East Carolina, you know, and either for draft purposes or just because they didn't have anywhere else to go to work out together at East Carolina. And I think at 5:00 on Tuesday night, the university or the state made the decision that they had to shut all their facilities down. And so Coach Godwin called me, and yeah, we happily took those guys, you know, in and told them they could use our place for as long as they need to.
So, Trent, in addition to the local players on the college level from East Carolina using Next Level, and just talk about during this time off the air right before we started recording this, and you were talking about some of the guys on the high school ranks, especially those seniors who've seen their senior season cut short, extremely short, and just all the emotions that are tied into it with the time those guys have put in.
Yes, it's been, Bubba, it's been really interesting because we're like every other business right now. I mean, first things first, you know, I mean, we fully recognize kind of the impact and the importance of this virus and this disease, and it's a big, big deal, and we get that. And, you know, as a business, we've taken pretty dramatic steps in terms of what we're doing operationally each day, but we are still open, and being open has sort of created an interesting scenario for us where, you know, we've cut a lot of our programming out, a lot of our anything that involves classes or formal groups getting together or anything, but we still try to remain open just for people to be able to use the facility. And, you know, on top of serving our regular members, we've kind of become a refuge for pro and college players that are sort of fleeing to us because they know that we're open and they really want a place to kind of have some normalcy. So, you know, our normal membership and, you know, our high school guys, our middle school guys, our little league guys, it's been tough for them because, you know, at the younger ages, they haven't even started their season as far as little league goes yet. Middle school had just gotten started and high schools had just gotten started. And, yeah, you really feel right now for the high school seniors because you know, some of them are beginning to have the reality. They may have played their last game and they never really knew it. So I was telling you guys off air before we came on, I had a young man in today that goes to J.H. Rose High School, and he's going to the U.S. Naval Academy next year. And he just, you know, he kind of said as he was leaving that that may have been his last lesson with us. And he may have played his last game, and he literally just burst into tears as I gave him a hug. And it just teared me up because there was nothing I could say to him. I just hugged him, you know, and said, hey, that, you know, because he's right. I mean, I can't tell him he's going to get to play again.
Right. That was one of the things I was going to ask is that very thing with high school. And certainly both – I know Bubba's son, Riley, plays travel ball. My son plays locally in Williamston. And we have, as you know, a great program. And last Sunday was supposed to be their last practice, but they even canceled that. So it's like my son now, he doesn't understand. At 6 years old, he'll be seven tomorrow. He doesn't understand why we're having to do all we're doing because he's always played, just like we don't know what's going on. So it's really hard to talk to a six-year-old and explain about a virus and that we can't play and all that.
No, it's you know, the word I've used repeatedly is surreal. I feel like sometimes I'm kind of operating in a two parallel universes because on the one hand, I've got customers kind of, you know, customers are begging me, please stay open. Are you guys going to be open? You know, and on the other hand, trying to balance the safety measures that we're being asked to honor from the federal government and our president and our state elected officials and, you know, and they're wanting, obviously, us to be really careful. You know, the great news for us, and I'll say this, the people that don't know us understand that we're trying to be responsible. We have a huge open air facility, and what I mean by that is we have 50-foot ceilings and we've got 30,000 square feet. So, you know, if we have 50 people in our business at any one time, there could be 50 people in there and nobody be within 50 feet of each other. And so with the cages and the turf area and all of that, other than the tees and the balls, you know, there's not really any community property being touched or shared. And again, we've done away with all our groups. And so, you know, it's just kind of a weird time we're in because we're trying to serve our customer, but do it responsibly where we're doing what we're being asked to do, which is to, you know, to keep social distancing in check and don't let there be contamination and disease spread by people touching things. And, you know, we're disinfecting at just a ridiculous rate, whether it's our interns or us or our hourly people or anybody that are working there, just every time somebody touches something, you know, disinfecting. So it's, it's a weird time we're in right now and a scary time.
So, Trent, besides the obvious, like you said, the constant disinfecting that goes on, and then also that new term, if you will, social distancing, besides those two things, so what are some other things that you guys have had to do to change your normal way of going about your business?
Well, the first thing we did was we kind of put together a list of, you know, what's something that gets touched by everybody all the time, and we tried to eliminate those things. So we, for example, when I come in the mornings, the first thing we do at 6 a.m. is we prop every single door in the building open. That way nobody's got to open or shut any doors leading to anywhere in the building. We took away all the ability at the front desk, any pins or any sign-in procedures we normally have. We took all of that away so that there's no signing in when you come in, so there's nothing to touch there. We shut down the water fountain so that, you know, there's no, you know, way of that being spread. We set up kind of disinfecting stations, literally like an extra six in each area of the building so that you don't take ever more than 8 to 10 steps without coming across another setup of disinfecting wipes and paper towels or things like that to kind of disinfect and clean after yourself. And then the biggest thing was, like I mentioned earlier, we kind of put a policy in place. No teams can come in to practice together, no group classes, no training groups of any type, so that even if it's just for optics, it doesn't look like we're having people congregate. So those are steps we took right off the bat. And then what we've done from there is just tried to watch our traffic patterns. I mean, the good news is that since kids are out of school, we're open 15 hours a day from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. So that's a long time during the day for people to kind of spread out their usage. And so there's really not been a big conglomeration at any one time of folks coming in. You know, usually we've got groups of, you know, 6-8 people at max in the building at any one time because we're open, you know, it's being spread out over such a long period of time with school being out.
Trent, I was going to ask you, as far as, God forbid, I know that WNCT did a great piece on you guys coming airing tonight and being Thursday night if you're listening, or Friday as well, two parts. But as far as, God forbid, but if something happens where you can't have the facility open anymore, or those of us that maybe are not close in Greenville, what can we do while our kids are home and they're bored and they're at home schooling right now?
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually funny that you asked that, because that's what WNCT had called me about and said, what do you recommend? And we talked at first because we've kind of had an influx of pro players coming in, and those are the guys that really are kind of so committed, and reverent to their daily process. And some of them, like, we have a guy from Arizona here, two guys from Florida, one of them's originally from Australia, and they literally have come to Greenville primarily just to have somewhere to train because they knew somebody that knew somebody and knew we were open. And for those guys, you know, it's a little more formal with kind of what they need to do and want to do. For the younger guys, it's not that hard, and that's kind of what we talked about today. I mean, first and foremost, the great thing I'm seeing and what I'm hoping is that we're going to flash back to my childhood, you know, in the early 1980s, and I'm seeing more and more kids out playing in the street, and, you know, the manhole cover is home, and the mailbox is first base, and the bush is second base, and just play pickup tennis ball, baseball, pickup wiffle ball. Like, that's how you learn the game. Just get out and play, and I'm hoping a lot of kids will do that. But if they're by themselves, you know, we talked about offensively just grabbing a bat and, you know, and swinging a bat in front of a mirror or swinging a bat in front of your vehicle where you can see your reflection, and just take 5 or 10 cuts at a time and kind of maybe do some stop holds where you stop your swing halfway through and just kind of see if you can hold it and check yourself. And, you know, something as simple as that, take a tennis ball and throw it up to yourself. Try to hit it on one bounce or two bounces and go get it. You know, maybe kids are even maybe playing rollabout or 500 in the neighborhood again, like we used to play growing up. You know, defensively, we talked about if you've got a tennis ball and a wall, you're good. You know, just, you know, any kind of ball will work, but a tennis ball or a racquetball ball where you're throwing short hops to yourself, you know, work on just fielding. If you're a right-handed thrower, just try to catch it with your bare left hand, you know, forehands, backhands, you know, make a game with yourself. How many in a row can you catch? You know, bounce it where it bounces in the air, and you got to catch it in the air. So some simple things like that are really, really good just from a skill standpoint. And then, you know, from a physical development standpoint, things as simple as doing, you know, short-distance sprints and some cone work where you're changing directions, vertical jumps, broad jumps, you know, where you're expressing some power, you know, are some things that we're even recommending to our older guys that are great ways to kind of just stay in shape and train power a little bit, because their strength and their aerobic capacity will hold on a little longer than the power will. So that's easy ways to train power as well at any age. You know, really well-executed vertical jump takes a lot of power to execute. So those are a few things.
Absolutely. Like you're saying, I mean, these are things that are certainly great to do anytime. And it's just doing whatever you can to turn a negative situation like this into a positive with the time you have.
Yeah, and a lot of it doesn't have to be complicated. You know, some of the beauty, particularly of baseball, is that you don't have to reinvent anything. Sometimes it's just being really committed to doing the basics consistently that get you where you want to get. And if you do that stuff daily, you're going to end up being a pretty good player. It's not the fancy stuff that makes a splash on YouTube or Twitter that really gets you there. It's just the basic, boring, normal things, and figuring out a way to make the boring things a little more fun and change them up, but just doing them every day. You know, again, that grabbing a tennis ball, you know, a simple drill I used to do for my son all the time, who eventually became a shortstop, was we'd get in our garage, and I would stand behind him, and he'd be in front of me facing the wall, and I would throw a ball over his shoulder. He wouldn't be sure when I was throwing it, and he just had to field it barehanded with his glove hand, you know, and tried, even if it was me one hop, two hops, or exactly which shoulder I was going to throw it over. But it developed great reflexes, great hand-eye coordination. It was fun. You know, we would keep track of how many in a row, you know, you against me. You know, if I'm able to make you mess up, I get a point. If you field it cleanly, you get a point. And, you know, we started that at the age that you guys boys are, and we just tried to keep it fun and make it competitive, but at the same time really working on some pretty basic skills, which is just moving his feet to where his belly button's over the ball and getting his hand extended to be able to field it cleanly with just his hand without a glove. But make it fun and make it a game. And you can do that stuff right now, whether you got a facility to go to or a field to go to or not.
Absolutely. And Trent, I was going to ask you, in addition to some of the local college guys, you mentioned Bryant Packard earlier, but who are some of those guys that may be in pro ball or playing at universities around the state or region that have come home and been able to take advantage of what you guys are offering?
Yeah, it's really been fun to see some of the guys. That's the one positive for me with this is normally I don't get to see a lot of these guys this time of year, but, you know, we've got, obviously all the guys at East Carolina, I mean, Gavin Williams, Alec Burleson, Bryson Worrell, Christian Smallwood, Ben Newton, Dusty Baker, who's now at Mount Olive, has been in with those guys. The guys from UNC Greensboro that are local, you know, we have five guys from Pitt County playing there, Robbie O'Neill, Gregory Hardison, Coleman Sawyer, those guys all at UNCG, and they're obviously back home. Guys from UNC Asheville, David Dobson, Jacob Peden, who was off to a great start at Davidson as a freshman throwing the baseball. He's been in very regularly. Additionally, some of our softball girls, I mean, Madison Bowers, who plays over at East Carolina, she's been in every day. At the pro level, it's been kind of cool because, Bryant got home 2 days ago, but Turner Brown's been in every day, and he's back. Nate Washer is back, and he's in. One of Bryant's teammates, a neat young man I've met named Kona Quiggle, he played at Grand Canyon University, and he was down at spring training with Bryant and just rode home Bryant because he found out we were open and wanted to train here. And another really unique guy named Aaron Whitefield, who plays with the Minnesota Twins, he's in his sixth year. He was down in Fort Myers, and his girl he's dating is getting her PhD at ECU. So we met right before spring training, and he's come back to be able to train at our place. And Aaron's kind of neat because he got signed by the Twins as an 18-year-old out of Australia and had never played baseball before. He
Wow.
was a rugby player, and they saw him on the fast-pitch softball fields. And signed him, and he's in his sixth year of pro ball now. Was in double A last year, so he's been in every day as well, and he's a really neat kid.
Trent, is there stuff as far as East Carolina you can share on things they're working on? Is this stuff as a team that Cliff wants, or is it individually? I think I would imagine is what more guys are working on, or is it both?
Yeah, it's more individual. I mean, they're coming in together because they all like each other and they're buddies, but it really is more individual. You know, I would venture to guess that, you know, that Gavin and Alec and Bryson are probably more working toward what they feel like they need to do to show well at any pre-draft camps they may get invited to for the draft. And obviously, they're, you know, if they come back to East Carolina next year, they're working on those same skill sets. And the other guys, I mean, Smallwood and Newton and, the other guys that are coming in right now, are certainly just trying to keep sharp with whatever it is they were working on with Coach Godwin or Coach Palumbo or Coach Dietrich, just to continue to work on that, not knowing sort of what's next. Are they going to play summer ball? Is their next baseball not going to be till next fall? I mean, all of these guys are potentially going to play in summer leagues, but nobody knows when those may start. So it's more individual, just guys coming in, whatever they're working on, typically individually, is what they're working on as well right now.
And Trent, as far as the draft is concerned, do you think these – I know you have no way of knowing, but as far as – I know Cliff said that they'll be back. I'm hoping they'll be back, but I know you can't tell us which ones are not. But how do you feel about guys coming back? Do you think there's a good chance that we may have seen the last of them, or maybe they'll come back?
Man, yeah, you know, it's so hard to know because I do think that Burleson and Worrell and Gavin particularly are going to be hot commodities. And I believe that they're going to have to make a choice, but you know, that's just my guess. And, what makes it interesting is we spoke off air earlier. This is such a unique situation because typically guys leave after their junior year because they have leverage to be able to get a higher signing bonus.
Right.
They have the option to say to a scout, either pay me or I'm going to come back and play my senior year at East Carolina. Well, these guys are going to kind of have two opportunities to do that with getting this eligibility year over again. So, you know, to me, it's a really unique opportunity. If the money is not life-changing money or not really right, you know, they could come back to East Carolina, actually play a fourth year, get their diploma, walk out with their diploma and still have leverage because they'd be able to come back for a fifth year, which would be, you know, their actual senior year. So it's so hard to know how that's going to play into things. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm seeing some legitimate conversation and hearing some that the draft may be shortened to maybe as little as 20 rounds this year instead of the normal 40. And you wonder how that would play into things. So it's anybody's guess at this point, but I think it's going to be one of the more interesting things to follow in college baseball, because in addition to your incoming freshman recruiting class, which programs out there can retain, you know, their seniors or retain their draft eligible juniors. And that's like a whole nother draft class if you're able to get three or four or five of those guys to come back at any, you know, at any top 50 program.
And Trent, it's been, what, 8 days now since the Pirates lost that heartbreaker down at UNC Wilmington on the walk-off three-run shot. And it seems like, to me at least, it seems like I've been living dog years, and I'm sure most folks feel this way. Seems like a lot longer than 8 days without Pirate baseball, as well as other things that are, you know, and going on in our worlds.
I know it's not the most important thing going on in the world, but it sure seems like it to me that I am – just flat out miserable, not just without baseball, but without sports right now. I'm miserable. You know, it's made me realize how much sports matter to me, maybe too much, but man alive, you know, I was thinking the other day that, you know, there's a legitimate possibility, depending on, assuming that we have college football season, assuming that, first of all, that what if the next sporting event we've got is ECU and Marshall in football, and we can I mean, for the whole world, you know, everybody would be dying for sports by then. But, it does seem like way longer than the time that it's been since sports have shut down. That's for sure.
As far as baseball goes, I guess major leagues will decide here in a little while if they have a season. I guess May is the next time I've heard. And racing is actually, NASCAR is May the 9th, I guess, for their next race. Have you heard anything about Major League Baseball? Do you know anybody that would know if we're going to have a season or not?
No, you know, I actually was talking to some of the guys today, you know, that were in, again, Turner with the Rockies and Jake with the Cubs and Bryant and Kona with the Tigers, Aaron with the Twins, so different teams. And just we were all just standing around and kind of talking, like, you know, what have you guys heard? Are you hearing anything? What's your agent telling you? You know, what are you hearing? And I think there's just so much so much still to be determined. I don't think anybody knows. You know, I saw a pretty prominent baseball writer today, you know, put out some of the issues that he sees with the season going on at all in terms of baseball being such a day-to-day game and with the travel involved with baseball, that if one person, you know, got this virus, what would the impact be, you know, on a major league game or a season or a series? And you know, there's some legitimate barriers, it looks like, to them kind of getting things started. So I really don't know what to expect. It's a horrifying, sad thought to me that potentially the major league season could in some ways be in a little bit of jeopardy as well. But, you know, nobody's really hearing anything right now. These guys don't have any idea when they may head back to spring training. Their agents don't know. I've talked to a couple of pro scouts. I talked to a guy with communicated with a guy with the Orioles and the Dodgers within the last week, and they don't really know right now, because I just asked them, like, what's your day-to-day job like right now? What are you doing? You know, I mean, you don't have games to go watch. So I think everybody right now is just sort of confused and watching and waiting.
As far as this is most surreal, I think, baseball, to me, as far as Major League Baseball, since you probably had to argue that whenever the stoppage of play and a strike in 1994, no World Series, all that. And this is probably the craziest, I think, as far as around the sport that I've seen, in at least that time.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree. I mean, I just think because none of us know what's coming. I mean, you know, what's going to happen? How long will this virus, you know, be around and continue to grow? I you know, there's just so many unknowns. So, and I know sports isn't everything, but it's what we're talking about today. So I think the impact of it is just we're just going to have to wait and see.
No doubt. And I have one final question before we let you go. I appreciate your time, Trent, very much. Are you allowing anybody to come right now? Is there a limit on the number of people that can – I know that we were talking about social distancing and all that stuff, and as far as your manpower and personnel is concerned, all the stuff that has to go on right now. Do you have a number of people that you can limit per day, or is there, like, if there are people listening right now that they want to bring their kids? I mean, how does that all work right now?
No, we're, in all honesty, we're really slow right now. And as I mentioned earlier, some of that's just because the kids are out. And so the traffic patterns are spread out over such a long period of the day, as opposed to a normal day when kids don't get out of school till 3. There's also, you know, Pitt Community College, who's normally in, is gone. The ECU club team is gone. The ECU club softball is gone. So a lot of our folks like that that are in daily are not even in town right now. So we're absolutely able, you know, as long as we're able to safely stay open, you know, we're trying to honor the 50-person rule, but we haven't come close to that yet where at any one period of time there's 50 people in there. So we're, you know, as long as that's what's being recommended, we're going to stick with that. We've got a ton of space, and yeah, if somebody wants to come in and you know, if it rains or you just want to be inside or you want to come use the facility, we're certainly accepting guests. The people can certainly come see us. You know, we're following the CDC and the governor and the president and every, you know, and every organization, the World Health Organization. I mean, we're paying attention every morning to all of that, what we're being asked to do, trying to be respectful of that. But we're open, and we're going to try to remain open as long as we can. And anybody that wants to come see us yet can absolutely come on.
Can you tell folks as far as your phone number and, I guess, website or different places where they could check you guys out?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is nextleveltc.com for Next Level Training Center. If you just Google Next Level Training Center, it'll take you to that. And our Facebook's probably the most up-to-date thing. I try to put something on there daily to just update what's going on. And again, you just go to Facebook and type in Next Level Training Center. Our phone number is 252-756-NEXT, which is 6398. And we're right in the middle of Greenville. You can get to us from either Arlington Boulevard or from Fire Tower Road, either one. We're on the kind of a connection of those two roads on Wimbledon Drive. So, yeah, folks, hopefully the weather will stay beautiful and people can be outside. But if you want to come inside or need to come inside, we'd love to have you for as long as we're allowed to remain open.
All right, Trent, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. And hopefully we can get through this crazy times, and we'll have you back on whenever things are quote-unquote back to normal.
I really appreciate it, and I know you guys love baseball as much as I do. I just hope we're going to get to watch some soon, because it's this is just no fun right now at all. So thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you very much, Trent. Appreciate all that you've done for Cliff Godwin and Pirate Nation as far as the baseball, and obviously just baseball, period, and obviously softball. And folks, I'm definitely going to take my son Alexander here pretty soon. It's his birthday. Give a shout out for him. It's his birthday tomorrow. He's not feeling well, so hopefully Alexander.
Happy birthday, Alex. You got to heal up, man.
7 years old. And Mackenzie will be 6 next week. And she says, she told me last week, by the way, guys, Mackenzie wants to be on our podcast really bad. So I told her maybe we can get up for her birthday next week. But she said that she wants. Yeah, we'll see if we can make her a guest. a future pirate. She wants to be like her daddy and go to ECU. So we'll see if that.
She wants to be bald?
No, she wants to go to Greenville to ECU.
Okay.
I don't know if she wants to be bald. We'll have to ask her that, too. But,
no, I'm not.
Anyway, by the way, guys, I know our guests are done. I just saw a thing. I sent you a screenshot because I knew we were going to do this, something we can talk about. There is one good thing with the whole coronavirus. Something
not a
really,
damn thing.
There is one good thing. It's just, I'm trying to get a silver lining. Here's a silver lining for you, okay?
There ain't one.
There is one.
There ain't one.
Gas prices are dirt cheap right now.
Well, they were going down before this crap, but if nobody...
I know, but I thought that they would...
giving it away soon, so...
I know, I thought that they were going to... Every time there's any kind of crisis, there's always gas spiking up, and I thought for sure, oh, God, we're
going
to have...
No, man, nobody's going anywhere.
And there's... I mean, they're saying GasBuddy.com, the expert, I sent you that, you guys, that screenshot of that to you. They said there's some places, it won't be North Carolina, some places
gas
could go down to 99 cents.
Yeah, it may be 99 cents here, but we'll never know it because our gas tax.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I believe it. I mean, it's just sitting there. Nobody's going anywhere. Nobody's traveling. Nobody, you know, nobody right now is going to leave North Carolina and drive over to, you know, Nashville unless they absolutely have to. So, I mean, course gas is going to go down. I guess if you want to call that a silver lining, I guess, man, but I don't see too many. This is a nightmare. It's not only from a health standpoint, obviously, that's terrible, and we'll see how bad it's going to get, but just from a inconvenience standpoint of places being closed, it's not good. It, you know, Dave, I know you've been really worried about the economy, and rightfully so. It's just bad. What have you guys – Bub, I know every time I talk to you, you're doing something. I guess it hasn't affected you much during the shutdown. You know, you're a school teacher. I know you've been busy every time I've talked to you. You've been driving the bus, taking food, doing a good yep. deed there, taking food out to students. Talk about that, what you've been doing to pass the time and, delivering food to students that need it there, in Rowan County.
Yeah. I mean, we've had to get to the school about 8:30, a little before 8:30 every morning. And like you said, we're delivering two meals, and we're delivering both at the same time. We'll take the kids a breakfast and a lunch, and it's been pretty well received. Folks aren't going to turn down free stuff a lot of the time, and so it's nice to know that these kids are getting the nourishment that they need during this hiatus. Hopefully it won't last the entire school year, but who knows at this point. But that lasts from about 8:30 to 11, and then we have online responsibilities. I've had to do some meetings online, and then also kids submitting stuff via a program on the internet called Canvas. And so you still have some of your typical responsibilities, obviously just everything online instead of in person, which is obviously hard with it being a PE class. Just one of the biggest things that I put in my online announcements to the kids is just
run.
Get outside and do what you can without getting close to people. I mean, just as far as riding your bike, playing basketball, doing something.
Tell them all to send you a picture of them doing something athletic every day.
Yeah.
Well, you might want to be careful with that. You got female students. I don't, maybe you shouldn't. Forget I said anything. I had good intentions with that one, actually, I promise. I lost my train of thought here, but I was going to tell Bubba as we record on Thursday night, look for an announcement tomorrow about schools for further information.
Governor Cooper, I know today, said that we would not be returning on March 31st.
Correct. Yeah.
So.
Dave, I know you've been working still. Besides that, how have you been passing your time?
Well, just trying to keep the kids busy at Richmond Academy. We have Rosenbaum Academy in the western part of the state, and then Richmond Academy here in the eastern part of the state. So I have the kids, trying to keep them busy. And Mackenzie told me 2 days ago that how much she loved me because we always take her places. So we're just trying to now, that's something in the norm, our usual norm is going places. So now we're just trying to, that very thing, try to be cautious with them, not take it for granted, certainly teach them the importance of what we should already be doing, the hygiene, the as far as the washing the hands and sanitizer. They do that anyway. So now we're just trying to work on that. And then one thing, like Bubba talked about, they've been jumping on the trampoline. They have a swing set, basketball goal. They've been doing that. And then we had Trent Brent here on the show. One of the things that we were starting to work on last week was Alexander with his baseball cranked up for literally 1 week, and we had two practices, and then it shut down. So we're trying to – it's really hard, as I said in the interview earlier in the show a little bit ago with Trent, it's really hard to explain to a kid. They understand that there's a virus. They don't understand the severity and what's going on with our nation. And so just trying to keep them lighthearted as much, trying to have fun with them as much as you can, business as usual. One of the things, guys, I want to talk about, both of y'all love movies. Did you see on Monday, another thing that's a historical thing, theatrical wall, as they call it, has been torn down. You're going to actually be able to get movies on demand for $19.99. And instead of being at the theater,
first run.
It'll be a first run movie you can buy for $19.
That is something I've always wondered why they didn't do, and I kind of thought it would happen at some point, kind of wanted them to do it, but I kind of didn't because I think there is something to be said about going to the movie theater and the experience. So that'll be interesting to see after this if that continues. Where would that be available at, Dave?
They didn't say. Well, I know the first company that came out on Monday. I've got to read up on. Some more. I saw another article. I haven't had a chance to read it with everything going on with the virus. And for those of us, our day jobs has been absolutely insane. I saw a little article online. But basically, I know NBC Universal, they have the Trolls movie coming out April 10th. That one, they're having a handful of movies. But then I think that all of a sudden, since they started, other companies, the studios are saying, if they did it, then we need to do it. So
yeah.
I think over time it may become a phenomenon.
Are most theaters shut down? I haven't even heard that.
I forgot how many markets it is, but there's a good number of them that are. And I know at Greenville, the Regal Cinema, I was talking to a lady today that works there, they're shut down. They haven't been, basically what it is right now, I think at this point is kind of like with the school system, they are not going to be able to go to the job for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I think that if more places, we talked about it earlier, I really believe that if that is the case, and more places do that or continue to do that, then you may see I think the numbers are going, obviously they'll spike and it'll peak, but I think it'll be a lot faster than, obviously, that's the hope anyway, that you shut things down and it'll, if we didn't shut things down, it would linger on and linger on and linger on. So I think that's one of the things that has been good.
And do
good.
You have to let it linger?
Do you have to? Do you have to?
Do you have to?
Thank you, Dolores.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see how all that plays out. And I just want to get your guys' thoughts, too, on what do you think about as far as the eligibility? Have you guys heard any more about that as far as spring sports? I think it'll be – the interesting thing here is spring sports,
yeah,
I think, is a done deal.
It's still 18.
What's that?
You mean eligibility. I think they should add another year.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, the tricky part is the winter sports. I don't think that's going to happen. So
they've already. I saw an announcement that with the winter sports, that will not happen. But
yes,
with the spring sports, seems like
basketball is a winter sport. I'm assuming.
Yes. Unfortunately, the winter sports, as many folks thought, it will not happen. But with the spring, it will. A matter of working out all those logistics, and there certainly are a lot of them, as John Gilbert referenced in a recent interview when he addressed the media, but then also he was on with Corey Glore, I think it was, but he in a recent interview anyway, he just talked about it. He said it's one of those things, and it sounds great, and it is good for the student athletes, but most folks don't have any idea how complicated that is as far as even outside of the financial aspect.
No, yeah, it is. It is very complicated for the next signing class and so on, and having enough money for scholarships. And
right.
It is quite complicated. I was just thinking, I hope the story is told 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, of the greatest teams that never were, where people are looking back talking about teams that didn't win a basketball championship that should have, teams that didn't win a baseball championship that should have. I hope that is the story that is told, because if that's the story we're telling 10 for 20 years from now, that means this thing ended up being not as bad. So I hope that's the story we're telling.
And you look at Baylor with Scott Drew, they had the best program they've ever had, they're the best team that they've ever had in that program. In the history of the school, and you won't see if they would win. A team like that, I believe, was the one that was going to – it's hard to know who's going to win, but I'm just saying it's more of a team that you wouldn't expect. And it wouldn't be a blue blood. In other words, they would win the national championship this year. So that was going to be a cool thing, is that it would be a team like that. It would be a great story. And hopefully they won't be a flash in the pan, and they'll have an opportunity next year. But it's just sad that the seniors, I see you feel bad for, and as we're talking to Trent and Brett, the high school seniors who aren't going to get the opportunity as far as baseball is concerned. So anyway, guys, do you have anything before we go?
Yeah, Dave, kind of along the lines of what you were saying with Baylor, the same thing with the Dayton Flyers. What a remarkable season they had under Anthony Grant. He had obviously done a tremendous job at VCU, had some good results at Alabama, things didn't go there as well there, excuse me, as what they had wanted. And then he had reunited with Billy Donovan with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But it's nice to see him doing so well there. And that's why I had actually reached out to Dayton trying to have him on the show. And they were just absolutely, as you can imagine, with the success they're having, even though March Madness is not going on, they're flooded with requests, not only in the Midwest, but nationally.
No doubt about it.
So I told him maybe down the road when things slow down a little bit for Coach Grant, maybe we'll have him on the show.
That'll be fantastic. And, folks, we've got some great shows coming up, great guests coming up. We'll keep it a secret. But real excited. Thanks to Bubba's hard work. And we need some more wrestlers. So hopefully, Kyle, you can jump off the top rope and get us some.
You know, I'd love to have on. I'd love to have on one of the most notorious wrestlers in the history. Maybe we'll see if we can reach out to him. One of the most notorious wrestlers in the history of the world. Maybe he can slap the crap out of Bubba for saying it's fake. Dr. D. David Schultz.
That would be fantastic.
You think it's fake? Does this feel fake?
That would be really cool. John Stossel can tell you all about that.
I never called it fake.
Yeah. You don't want to call it fake in front of David Schultz.
No, that was in the late 80s. That was classic. That was epic, as our friend Steve and I go would say. All right, guys. Well, we had a great time. And, folks, make sure you listen to the Daily Pirate Profile exclusively on SoundCloud. And we'll have any breaking news, we'll have that at once. You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective. And the objective is sports.